So I was not really a tremendous athlete when I was in high school, although I did play sports. I didn't play all the way through my life in high school because it came clear to me relatively early on in my life that there were athletes that were better than I was. But it was a very important lesson in my life because it helped me to look at myself, to accept what I was good at and what I wasn't, and to be okay with that. I learned to prioritize because of my experience in athletics. I learned to discover in my life what was important. I discovered the value of working together. And I noticed the consequence when we did not. Now, I mention all of this because there can be a tendency in thinking about athletics, or teaching for that matter, that the only thing that really is holy or makes one holy, or the only thing that really is about holiness, is teaching religion. Now, don't get me wrong, teaching religion is a wonderful thing. Obviously, I'm highly in favor of it. I'm a Catholic priest, so that is good. But I learned very early on at an NCEA convention a number of years ago when Father Michael Himes was the keynote speaker, and he referenced someone whose name I forget, who said, it's not the teaching of religion that makes one holy. It is teaching that makes one holy. And each of us, in our own way, have a specific role to holiness. You have a pathway to holiness as a coach, and I know that some of you are coaches and teachers. You're doubly blessed. That's what the readings today are getting at. Be holy. Be perfect. Minor things for us in our lives don't take much work to do either of those things. We can easily be perfect and holy. Are you guys awake? Boy, I tell you, I'm going to keep my day job, you know. That was supposed to be a little bit of humor, but obviously it didn't work so well. So, but what Jesus is getting at, actually, is that while the external aspects of our life are important, the internal conversion in our life is what makes us holy. And think about that in developing a young man or a young woman in athletics. What you're really trying to do is to tap the internal realities and to help them to grow. There's a certain part of being an athlete that you simply can't teach. There are some kids that just seem to get it. And there are other kids that seem not to. I remember standing on the sidelines and at a high school I taught and taught at quite a long time ago, and there was a quarterback, and I listened to the coach talk to both he and another young man on the team, whose number was 8, which is important for reasons I'll mention in a moment. And I heard him say, you're going to throw the ball to number 8. And lo and behold, the play unfolded, and number 8 was wide open. There was not another player near number 8 for, I don't know, yards. It was going to be an easy touchdown. And it would have been an easy touchdown if the quarterback had actually thrown the ball to number 8. But for reasons only explicable in the mind of a high school boy, he didn't throw the ball to number 8. He threw the ball on the opposite side of the field. And it was intercepted and returned for a touchdown. If you're going to be a successful coach, you have to understand that sometimes that's the way high school students think. In other words, not very logically. But you're called to bring them to holiness. You're called in your life to teach them not only the fundamentals of the game, because quite frankly, most of the kids, if you're a football coach, for example, probably aren't even going to see the field except in practice. But that's okay. Because if you don't have those kids, the whole team suffers as a result. They have a critical role in a life, even though they're not going to get a lot of accolades, they're not going to be written up in the newspaper, in the sports section, there probably isn't going to be a picture taken of them. But they're critical. And you're critical in drawing out from them this gift of holiness. Because so much of anything in life is about working on what's inside so that it impacts what people see on the outside. Jesus is mentioning the Jewish law. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was actually an attempt at compassion, because what it really meant was the penalty can't be worse than the crime. That's what an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth really is about. There has to be some fairness and justice in terms of the penalty. But Jesus is saying, you know, really, on the inside, you need to recognize that revenge is not going to lead you to holiness. So even though there is this kind of equality in terms of the law, it isn't going to make you holy. Revenge isn't going to help you to heal. Revenge is not going to cause the brokenness to go away. If we find ourselves in this terrible notion of tribalism, which, by the way, Catholic schools are not at all immune from. I know in my universe that if I were to say something nice about DeSmet, I would get a few looks, shall we say. But the reality is, if we're not careful, our tribalism could be the end of us. Every time a Catholic school closes, it's bad for all of us. So we have to recognize that in some way, while I do think we're a much better school, the reality is that they have something to offer. We have to resist the kind of tribalism that, quite frankly, is becoming really problematic in our own country. We can't even listen to people if we think they even remotely disagree with what our team stands for. And if we're not careful, it could be the end of us. Because what did Jesus tell us? What did he model for us? He spent time with the very people whose lives were so out of control, they were hardly described as religious. Tax collectors and sinners. Prostitutes. People whose lives were fundamentally broken, he offered them a chance at life. That's what you do to the kids that you influence. You offer them a chance at real life. Because for some of them, you are going to be the first person, perhaps, that even believes in them for anything. They may not have had much hope in their life. So many of our boys I know, they don't really have a great relationship with their father, if they know their father at all. You're the person that can restore their hope in humanity and make them holy. And Jesus reminds us that the real challenge is not getting along with those kids we really like. I was just making the observation, when I was at Fenwick, Fenwick's a very selective school, very, very bright kids. I'm going to tell you, it's easy to teach bright kids. Don't tell my colleagues at Fenwick that, but it really is. Because they want to do well. And so they pay attention. And they do the homework. If you give them a reading, they do it. We had a teacher who came from another school district that did not have a lot of work handed in, and it didn't work well for him because he didn't realize that when you made an assignment, every single kid was going to turn in that assignment. And he got way behind in reading, and then he wasn't reading things, and he was just randomly tossing out grade. It didn't work well. What is it that you bring to the kids you influence? What is it that you bring for each other? What is it that you do not only to help the kids to grow in holiness, but to help yourself to grow in holiness? We are on the verge of the season of Lent. It starts this Wednesday. Sometimes there can be a temptation during the season of Lent to focus on something external or to do what we've always done, somehow in hopes that something miraculous will happen. But Lent is not simply an exercise in willpower. For God's sakes, if I can't go without chocolate for 40 days, I've got much bigger problems than anything else in life. If I don't have the willpower to make that little sacrifice, How am I going to make the kinds of sacrifices that God will cause me to make in following him as a disciple? The question for Lent is, what do I need to do in order to become the person that God wants me to be? Lent is about being qualitatively different at the end of the season of Lent than we were in the beginning. So different, in fact, that we couldn't imagine not doing what we did for Lent after Lent, because it's helped us to grow in holiness. And so maybe the real task of this time and this period before Lent is to think about how God is calling you to grow in prayer in terms of what you do for Lent, and to think about how God is calling you to grow in sacrifice or fasting. Sacrifice helps us to realize that, as I say to the students sometimes, the earth revolves around the sun. It doesn't revolve around you. How are we going to grow in becoming more generous, giving of ourselves more completely? Recognizing that while I do find myself getting really frustrated and upset, like the world's coming to an end if my Wi-Fi goes out for 5 minutes, the people of Syria are dealing with 40,000 people dead and over a decade of war. That's suffering. How can I be generous for people who really suffer? And we have them in our own communities as well. Remember the task of this Sunday. Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy.